Hey, good morning, Crossroads. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to see you guys. Good to see you online, too. I know you're joining us in the middle of the week, so we want to say hello to you out there. But listen, you're in for a treat. We are in week two of our series called Blind Spots. Grateful that you and your family could join us here today. But Blind Spots is a series that we're looking at the things that the church sometimes looks away from. And looks away from them just because maybe they don't want to deal with them or they're not sure how to handle them or whatever it might be. But we just said, we don't want to be that type of church. We want to take the blinders off, want to look at them and say, God, what would we have to do with what is in front of us, especially in our culture, in our world? Last week, we looked at this idea of police and race, and we wrestled that to the ground with a great panel discussion. If you missed that, you can go on our app or you can go online to be able to look at that later. The other thing, though, is that next weekend, we're going to be looking at abortion. And we're going to be tackling that with really a couple of great guests that are going to be here, one of which is my friend Jill Stanek from Chicago that's going to be joining us. You're not going to want to miss that conversation. As hard as it might be, I believe it's an important one we need to have. And really, the whole world is talking about it. Our whole country is talking about it. So I think the church needs to chime in, too. So we'll be having that conversation next week about that. You won't want to miss that one. But today, we talk about something that I know, really impacts all of us almost on a daily basis. We might run into somebody on the street. We might run into somebody on our walk to work. We might even have somebody in our family that is wrestling with this. And it's this idea of homelessness. What do we do with those people that we see that are without a home and seem to be living in poverty and have so many needs? What do we do with that? And instead of me preaching a sermon on that, because I have never been homeless, I would be speaking outside of what I've known, I thought it would be important for us to be able to speak to people that are in the middle of the conversation so you can hear from them. But then when you leave here, that you have actually things that you can do to be a part of the solution here today. And as I talk about the church, I talk about the capital C church, that we all need to be a part of this, but specifically here at Crossroads, where God has called us to be, what can we do as Crossroadians to be a part of this solution? So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk to three people. Let me introduce you to them very briefly and then have them come out and tell you a little bit more about themselves. The first person we'll meet is Officer Mike Kelly from here in Manteca. He is the resource officer here in the city. You're going to want to hear what he's been doing in our city, which has been tremendous. Second person you'll meet is Jason Conway, the executive director of the Modesto Gospel Mission. And his story of transformation is one you might have never heard before. And then finally, Leanna Rubio, who is a mom and a wife that is a Crossroadian here and said, I need to be a part of being a part of the solution. How can I do that? And you're going to be able to hear how she connected with Love, Inc. and is making strides in the homelessness world. So, Crossroads, would you do this for me? Would you welcome our very special guest to the stage today? Here we go. Fourth time. Let's do it. All right. Well, guys, I'm glad that you're with us here today. Have a seat. And instead of me telling everything about you, I thought it'd be great for you to tell a little bit about yourself. And we'll kind of kick it off. Jason, we'll go right in the middle. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came today?
Yeah, so my name is Jason Conway. I'm the executive director over the Modesto Gospel Mission. And I've been a part of that ministry for 12 years. I'm married. I have a 3-year-old son. And currently I'm enrolled in Liberty University. I'm in their business program, trying to get my master's in business, and working in our local church, been a part of the same church for 10 years, and work as a campus pastor and leadership there, and highly involved in our community in Stanislaus County, San Joaquin Valley, and in Ripon and Manteca area. And that's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. And so Modesto Gospel Mission, how long has it been around? What are you guys doing over there? What's been happening?
So the Modesto Gospel Mission has been part of the community since 1948. Mm. It has its roots in a Billy Graham crusade that came in 1948 in the Modesto area when Billy Graham was a part of Youth for Christ. And there was some seed money left over that kind of started out the money for the Modesto Gospel Mission. So for the last 70 years, we provide a place of refuge, recovery, and restoration through the power and love of Jesus Christ. So we are an emergency shelter that's coupled really all of our programs around a culture of redemption and transformation, holistically trying to provide everybody with the pathway out of homelessness back into community and back into transformation and really salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Awesome. We're going to hear more about it, but great stuff happening there. Leanna, why don't you explain a little about you?
So hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Leanna Rubio. I am a wife, a mom of three, and And I teamed up with Love Inc. Just under 2 years ago. And should I share a little bit about Love
Inc.? Oh, please. Yeah, go ahead.
And so what we do is we mobilize churches to come together to meet the needs of individuals and families. And so the way that that happens initially is through a contact center that we have right here at Center Street, right here in Manteca. And so part of what we do, and I'll talk a little bit about this later, is equipping the church to be involved in the community and really interested not just in meeting needs, but seeing transformation.
Yeah. Great stuff happening. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But and Officer Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself to the Crossroads fam?
My name is Mike Kelly. I'm the community resource officer assigned to the community resource officer position at Manteca Police Department. I've been a community resource officer here for 3 years now. I do a business watch, neighborhood watch, a small portion of my job, but the majority of my job is to deal with the homeless full time. I'm basically the front lines for our department on the homelessness.
Yeah, wife, kids, you got all that? I think you checked all the boxes, right?
Oh, yeah, I got them too.
Got it. We know so much.
I don't have any cats, though.
No cats. Good.
There's one in your car.
Oof, there's one in my car.
I put one in your car for you.
Oh, good. I'll call your friends to come take care of that. So that'll be no problem. But so listen, we're here today, and we're talking about this idea, really not idea, homelessness in our communities, what we're seeing, what we're involved with. And so I think the first thing that we need to kind of establish is, what is the homeless population that we're looking at? What does it really look like? Because we see things from the outside and what we might interact with, but what is really on the ground? What does the homeless population look like? Give us an idea of what we're seeing in the homeless population.
Our homeless population, we have, we just did our point of count on January. In January we did it. And I want to say we were 225 people that we gathered within that 3 hour period in Manteca. With that being said, Manteca is number two in the county as far as the homeless population. We were ahead of all the other cities other than Stockton beat us. They can beat us there. Okay. Most of the people that are homeless, I think we discussed this before, is it's drug, alcohol, mental health, is part of the reasons why they're out there on the streets.
Yeah, and I know some people are curious, do you have any percentages on how many are addicted or because of like, they just can't afford to live there, or like, can you figure that out at all? Or
well, we don't have any percentages. It'd be hard to put a percentage on something. We were looking up some states stat earlier before we came in here, but as far as giving those, I don't have any information on that. I couldn't tell you like 30% of the people are just down on their luck or 90% are on, I really don't have that.
Yeah.
But I know a majority of the people that are out there, it's a drug or alcohol-based issue, and that's what's causing a lot of the homelessness. And if you're not, they end up getting tied up into it because they have to use or drink to survive on the streets, is what they tell me.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, especially digitally online, they say, well, gosh, I think there's more of them want to be homeless as opposed to not. So do you see that? Like, what percentage? Why would people choose to be homeless?
And there's some people out there that just don't want to get, they don't want to go to work. They don't want the responsibilities of having to pay rent, PG&E, their ex for child support, spousal support. I've heard all kinds of reasoning as to why they don't want to work or why they don't want to get off the streets.
You'd say it's a smaller percentage than the majority, though. You said majority is the addiction population, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, most of it's going to be addiction.
Yeah. So let's cross over to Modesto and see. Do you have statistics similar, like what number of people in Modesto that are homeless and maybe what you're seeing in the Modesto Gospel Mission? And maybe just weave in your story of how you got to be where you're at.
Yeah, so some of the numbers regarding homelessness in Modesto, there's 1,400 men, women, and children that are homeless in Modesto, California. There's 1,900 in Stanislaus County. And that really gets broken up. And predominantly, it's going to be addiction. Predominantly, it's going to be drug abuse and addiction. Secondary is going to be those that simply just have checked out of life. And then thirdly would be those who simply have lost a job and can't afford the cost of living. My story rolls into basically the statistic of the guy out there at the age of 27, from really the age of 17 to 27, who started to drink and who started to really rely on alcohol in my life, that kind of induced a pathway that led me into addiction of methamphetamines. And at 12 years of my life, I began to destroy my life and make wrong choices and bad behavior that led me at the age of 27 to become homeless in the city of Modesto. And that's when I ended up going to the Modesto Gospel Mission. And it was at the time in my life that not only was I dealing with homelessness and addiction, I was dealing with behavioral issues and just every subcategory that comes out of an unhealthy lifestyle. Mental health was probably at a state of 1 to 10. It was probably at an 8, 8.5, 9. There was a lot of things going on in my life, but that's when I walked through the doors of the Modesto Gospel Mission 12 years ago and went into the lobby area and told the receptionist I need a place to go. And then she hands me into a New Life program, an 18-month New Life program that I did not know existed at the Modesto Gospel Mission, even though I was born and raised in Modesto. I've never stepped foot at inside the doors of the Modesto Gospel Mission until I came in time of need. And it was at that point that I was introduced into a new life. And that new life was one of learning how to get up again, learning how to just engage in everyday life of getting up, making your bed, reporting to work. It was the basic stuff that some of us take for granted in this life, but it was those types of things that I lost the ability to do. And the Modesto Gospel Mission, really through the love of Jesus Christ and the staff there, gave me the foundation to be able to really obtain a new life. And it was at that point, about a year into the program, that I just fell more in love with Jesus and really serving in full-time ministry, that I came in and did an internship for 6 months and got hired on staff in 2008. And for the last 10, 11 years, I've worked on staff there in multiple different areas of the ministry, and today I have the opportunity to be the executive director. I say that to say that if you don't believe in God... Awesome. If you don't believe in God, that's a story behind the pilgrimage from going from a homeless person that used the services to the executive director of that ministry. It still captures me when I get into my truck. I still get goosebumps because of how powerful our God is and how transformative he wants to be in our lives. That we can't lose hope in our communities and those people that are out there.
So awesome, man. So awesome. Leanna, there's another kind of aspect of homelessness that a lot of people don't even really realize about. So explain a little bit of that and maybe some experience you've had with that.
Yeah, so a part of my story is one of understanding life events and experiencing them. So my parents are very transparent about this. We had significant life events. My dad had a very serious condition, which created a lot of vulnerability for our family. Experienced a number of tumultuous events, and for us, we had a social support system that came up out of the church. So it was our pastor who was at the forefront of that, made sure that he would do the big and the small things, so would make sure that we had food when we needed it, even delivered Christmas trees, just to make sure we knew that we were cared for. And so it was by that type of grace that we were able to experience transformation. I didn't share this in the earlier services, but there are five of us kids, and all five of us have graduate training. It's amazing what transformation can really happen when we are connected as a community. And so what we experience at Love Inc. are people calling in into the contact center who say, you know, I'm a single dad with kids and I don't have anywhere to go, but I have a job next week. I just need a couple of days of help to get me from here to there. There are people who find themselves in what I would call insecure housing situations. Landlords said they need to sell their home. So there are people who have challenges with affordability, and need connection and community more than they just need transaction. And so that's the aspect that I think we sometimes don't see as much, but honestly, probably many of us in this room experience that at one time or another.
Yeah, and even the elderly now, you know, not even able to afford,
Yeah, so the specific story I've shared is that within the last month, we were contacted. There's a grandparent who had been living with her I believe it was her daughter and her daughter's husband taking care of her grandchildren. The grandchildren got to a place where they were old enough and no longer needed the grandmother's help, and so she found herself being displaced. The children said, "We don't need you here any longer." And so those are the people that we're in contact with, and it's extremely heartbreaking to understand that that's a situation that our elderly are experiencing too often, and probably a growing need. I know Jason shared that they've seen an uptick at the Gospel Rescue Mission of the elderly who are finding themselves being sheltered there as well.
So if you just even just kind of push pause for a second, you've seen the landscape of homelessness there for a second. You have alcohol and drug addiction, and you have people that are choosing to do that, but you also now have people that simply can't afford the first month's, last month's security deposit rent to be able to get over, as Jason had said, that hill in order even to get a home. And then you have people that are being displaced because of just they're older and their families aren't coming alongside them. So it becomes harder to then paint with such broad strokes that person that you see on the street and say, oh, well, they're this, they're that. You don't know until you have a conversation, until you get to know those people and the relationship maybe with them. But with that comes the question of, what do we do? It's great to know that. Those are neat statistics, and that's really cute to know. But what do we do? Like, what do we really, really do? I love our God because it's not like he's caught off guard by any of this. In fact, in the Old Testament, he actually kind of set up some rules and regulations, if you will, for how to take care of the poor and the needy that were around them. Even in the Old Testament, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 15, starting in verse 7, we read, "If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be," listen to these words, "hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need." Now, let's jump over, though, to verse 10, where it says, "Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." So we read that and we say, well, gosh, that makes sense. You know, the answer to that must mean that we need to be open-handed. We need to give people. We need to take care of people. We need to do that. But what I love about our Lord is that he actually has both sides of this, that there's a way for us to be able to understand. Because some of you out there are probably saying, well, how does that work? How come they get a free ride and I don't have to because I work hard for my money? Well, Paul will tell us something in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. He says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule." Check it out. "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat." So there you have the tension, don't you? The tension of what God says to be open-handed and not tight-fisted, right? On the other hand, it says, hey, you should work for what you get. So then we come to the tension. We ask the question, okay, what do we do with the person that's on the street that gives us the sign that says, hey, I need help. I need food. I need whatever it might be. How do we help them without hurting them? So officer, I'm going to ask you to kind of start with your side of things. What have you seen in your daily existence with this community? What are the areas where things are going great and maybe there's some areas that aren't going so great?
Well, when you see the sign says they're asking for money, they're asking for help, if they want food, ask them if they want food. If they're standing out in front of Taco Bell and you want to give them something, but don't give money. The money is the last thing you can give because a lot of it's going to the addiction. Addiction is that the money's going to be going to the drugs, the alcohol, or whatever they're looking for. If you ask somebody, hey, look, do you want something to eat? If they're standing out in front of Taco Bell again.
Yeah.
And
I love their burgers.
They want a burrito.
So
yeah,
good. Yeah.
I said that earlier, if they want a burger, but obviously Taco Bell doesn't serve burgers. Uh-huh. But I was corrected by that earlier, thank you. But if they want something to eat and you want to offer something, that's great. Those are. But if you guys are going to give stuff, give it to the proper places that are helping with the resources. We have a great group of resources in the city that are helping out with the homeless. And we're asking to give to the right resources.
Yeah. Well, tell them what happens when you don't do that, though, because I think that's important for people to know. Because our instinct is to say, let's go make some sandwiches, let's go do this, let's go out, let's give. You know, what have you seen as a result of that?
Well, in the parks, we'll just use library. Everybody here drives by Library Park or the Wilson Park behind the post office. And people go out there and they donate. It's like they clean out their garage and they donate their clothes or their dressers. I saw a vacuum cleaner out there. I'm not really sure what they're going to vacuum with no electricity, but it's like they clean out their garage and they go dump everything at the library, and the homeless have to figure out what to do with it, either get rid of it or carry it around in their arsenal. And also the food. The food is a big issue. I tell you, I've seen people come out there 5 to 7 times on a Saturday or Sunday, and no kidding, I've seen a lot of different meals come in there, and food just get thrown away because it's just too much food being out there.
And it's kind of almost not fair, too, because sometimes you have people that say, well, the homeless, they don't clean up their stuff, they do this, they do that. And part of it is probably our problem that we dumped our garage right in front, and then they're the ones that are associated with not cleaning up their stuff when it's our stuff. So what would you say then? What's the right way? Give an example of maybe the clothing thing. Like, what's a better way to do it?
Yeah, the clothing, we have a pretty good working relationship with
Hope Chest.
Hey, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. It's the second time I've made that mistake here. But yeah, the Hope Chest, I have a really good working relationship with them. If a homeless person comes up to me and says, hey, I need a shirt, I need shoes, I need clothes, I give them a voucher and they go over and they get it for free. So donate to the right resources. Don't go just dump it on the lawn or the library and the city has to figure out how to clean it up. Or people are complaining on Facebook that we're not doing anything about the city downtown. It's just making our jobs a lot harder.
Yeah. So Jason, so people come into the Modesto Gospel Mission hundreds and hundreds every day. So what are you seeing that we're not really looking at, right? So what is the issue that is homelessness, and what can we be doing better to affect that?
So I think the biggest issue that we're really us as a church, but us as a community, is we're trying to tackle this under a physical element. And I think there is a physical component to homelessness, but what we're not seeing and we're not addressing is a spiritual reality behind all of this. And what I normally say is when you see something happening in the physical realm, it's usually a representation of what's going on in the spiritual realm. And so we're trying to really throw a lot of solutions to it, but we're not really getting to the root of the issue, and that's a sinful nature and a sinful issue that we all deal with. I mean, it might not control us as a homeless population, but it is that sinful nature that ultimately drives and has communion over somebody's willpower and their desire. And that's where there's a component that we need to take really our communities back, our downtowns back, our parks back. And that comes through a prayer, kind of a prayer language. It comes through really addressing this issue for what it is and calling it out in prayer and getting together as a church and as a community and praying over our cities, praying over those individuals that don't want any help, that are out there talking to themselves, swinging in the open ears as you're seeing it. That is a spiritual atmosphere that they're fighting in. And it's time for the church to start taking back what belongs to us. And that's really that atmosphere of calling in who God is and allowing God to be able to minister to their hearts and bringing that love to the table. And that's something that the church has to do, is we have to choose to do that, to be that component and that love agent. And that sometimes happens through really the biggest thing is really just praying for somebody when we either encourage or when we come across somebody is just praying for them. And that could be physically or just when you're driving by somebody and you see somebody out there, just don't drive by and say, oh man, that person, but really say a quick prayer for them too. There's power in prayer. I don't mean to be so simple, but there is. There's so much power in the principle of praying.
I think you can, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I was just going to add to that, because sometimes you can hyper-spiritualize things where it's just like everything, you know, everything under the sun. But then you can under-spiritualize it also. And I think there's a really balanced view of that. There are some people that just need to get up and get a job and get working, right? But then there's some people that are really, really being oppressed by some things that even beyond what you can see. And what I love, what, you know, Love Inc. does, you know, as we talk about what do we do for the person with the sign? I think that's an interesting conversation to be able to have, how you've kind of seen that and what Love Inc., how they attack that.
Yeah, so I think to add on to what Jason's saying is that all of that starts by actually knowing someone, right? So what's really important, because we've talked about this in other services, there's that draw and that heartbreaking moment, and I've been there multiple times where my heart just breaks and on the spot when somebody's asking me for something. And what I have found to be the most powerful, and I'll talk about how this connects to Love Inc., is to actually know that person's name. So I introduce myself. I'm Liana. What's your name? And understand a little bit about that story, that person's story, because I find that people who are struggling with homelessness actually live a very visible life. People see them all the time, but they're not actually seen. In some cases, they may be seen in their community of people who are experiencing homeless, but to those of us who are not in that community, it's like we pass by them. So for us to actually not only see them, but know them by name, then we're empowered to be able to pray and do something that actually has that person, that individual in mind. It's much different than seeing a group of people and, like Brian had said, paint really broad brush strokes. So I think there's something really powerful about knowing somebody's name and understanding their story. And that can happen in a moment or that can happen over time. So when someone calls Love Inc., whether they're struggling with homelessness or have another need, our goal is to understand their name, their story, what's really going on with them, pray with them, and to be able to say, you know, these are actually resources that are available to you. We have community partnerships. That's actually what we do, is organize around partnerships to make sure, we talked about this in another service, like one church may have one resource available or may meet one need, and another church does something else. And so really the question for all of us in the church is, how do we actually bring forth what our president of the board, George Gerling, would say, which is our intelligent efforts. We have talents, we have skills, people who attend here and attend the churches throughout Manteca, and how do we not divorce from that when we're talking about our communities, and how we can actually be a part of our communities and offer our intelligent efforts to meeting the needs of our community and making sure we're not separating physical spiritual aspects of people's lives.
If you take nothing else away from today, intelligent effort, I think, is something that we all need to kind of to think about, because I think that's what happens sometimes. We somehow disconnect our brain from our heart, and the next thing you know, we're going all heart, and we're giving, and we're baking, and we're lasagnaing, and we're giving out clothes and all that kind of stuff, when in reality, the officer's like, please stop, right? Let's reconnect those together to have an intelligent effort to make the best use of the resources that we have. Maybe instead of spending $100 on making an enormous lasagna that's going to get thrown away, we funnel that through a Modesto Gospel Mission or Love Inc. to be able to resource for a broader sense. So again, intelligent effort, I think it's so important. But as we talk about this, there can be the tendency for us to think that we're the ones that have it all figured out. You need to be like us because we're the one. As the us, you need to be like us. But in reality, in some ways, the community of the homeless population might have a better angle on what it really means to be a community than we do. Speak to that just a little bit, Jason, as you were talking about what it looks like to ask them to do something different than what they're doing.
Yeah, so on that kind of point of community, these individuals that are experiencing homelessness and are really in that chronic state of homelessness, they've developed through really their life, whether however long they've been on the streets, they belong to a community. And like Pastor was saying, that community almost is more fluent than our communities are in our own spheres, whether it's our church's communities or whether it's just our little personal communities of our friends and our family. So basically, sometimes the issue of it is that I see so many times is what we're doing is we're trying to get that person outside of what they know, what they feel comfortable with, people that are like-minded with them, and we're trying to say, we want you to leave that and come to something new. And normally that doesn't really gel well with that person, and they want to go back to what they know and that community that they're familiar with, because nobody really, all of us, like to be comfortable. We like to know what's going on around us in our environments. And when we're outside of that, we feel uncomfortable. We want back into our comfort zone. So sometimes we got to look at it like that. It would be like me saying, Pastor, I want you to, everybody that you know, all your friends, your family, I want you to leave them. I want you to come over here to this new thing. Mm-hmm. And you would say, well, that kind of sounds like a cult. I mean, that's literally the reality of what we're trying to ask them. It's something totally foreign to them, like learning a new language. So it is with serving Christ, and we have to really bring that simplicity back to the table, and that's connection, getting them to trust us, and really just the simple things in life that we take for granted of.
Yeah. I think there is a little bit, and Officer, I'm curious your thoughts on this. Should there be, based on your interaction with the community, should there be a sense of fear that's there? Or do you think that we get that misguided too?
What do you mean, a sense of fear?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think people look at homeless people like, they're all going to attack me and everything like that. Would you say that that's the vocal minority? Or I think there might be a sense of the communities of like, I don't know what to do because I'm just scared.
Yeah, there's, I wouldn't say fear. I mean, I don't really fear it. I go out there every day and deal with these people. I know all of them. One of the things we encourage people, though, is if you want to get involved, not to go out there and just do things. The whole idea of our task force and our outreach teams is to pull everybody in the community together to do this, to do everything. So that what happened was that we had 10 different people doing the same thing, and nobody was doing something that needed to be done. We were crawl crossing the same bridge. So we want to make sure I kind of describe it as a pie. Like we only eat half the pie. We don't ever touch the other half. That's why it's important to everybody work together and, like you said, come together and do take care of the whole thing, not just part of it.
Yeah, and I think taking some of that fear out is getting to know people, and your task force, I think, is tremendous. And explain exactly what that means. What does a task force do?
Our task force, we go out the first and second Thursday of the month. We actually go out to the homeless. We bring them the resources. We get to know them. Like she said before, we know their names, who they are. They usually call me Mike. They don't call me Officer Kelly. They call me Mike. Build the relationships. We also bring out mental health with us, medical staff. If we have a young lady that's pregnant out there on the streets, she gets her doctor's appointments that way because the medical staff comes out and sees her. And pretty much we come to them so they don't have to come to us because they won't come.
Yeah. And so if there's this like misconception out there that always is like, what are you doing, right? What are you doing? Or there's nothing being done or all this kind of stuff. I mean, because Facebook is just the best thing to use to probably talk about things, I'm guessing, right? No. So many people, their solution to homelessness is to be in their pajamas in front of their computer and be like, well, this is really good. You know, like they'll just zip it out, right? Shockingly to me, you said that's not the most effective thing to do. Like, I don't know. What would be more effective than that?
Do not post on Facebook.
Yeah.
I follow some of those pages, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
People have no clue what's being done in the city. The city has taken a very big approach. A lot of other cities have come to the city of Manteca. Lodi PD now currently has 2 community resource officers. I helped train them. Stockton Police Department, I've met with their chief a couple times. We've got Los Banos Police Department, Livermore PD. A lot of different agencies are coming down to try to figure out what we're doing. We are kind of the forefront on how we're running things, and people want to know how are we doing it. So there's a lot of cities right now sitting back, watching. I'm sure a lot of you are reading in the paper about the day center that we're looking at right now. Mm. If that day center comes, there will be a place for them to go during the day to get the resources. We'll have mental health there. We'll have stuff there for them to go do. So there's a lot of cities right now watching to see what Manteca is doing.
Yeah. Jason, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you perceive the homeless community looking at the non-homeless community? Is there because we've talked about the stereotype that we have on them. Is there something that they're seeing in us that is not helping? What would you say?
Well, I think when the homeless community looks out to the world, what they see is just a world passing them by. And they don't see any type of belonging, and it's literally a point of invisibility in who they are, and that's where, you know, that's the reality of it, is they just see a world passing by, or this is what you need to do. And this goes back to really a principle that we, just as Christians, but as organizations, need to kind of close this and to open this. Because really from a youthful time, we're not able to have a voice and we're not able to just share what we're going through without somebody trying to fix us and without somebody trying to fix it. And that happens in all of our lives. I'm gonna throw my wife under the bus for a minute. I get in the car, I need an outlet. I need an outlet, just a vent. Like I'll share something that's going on. Well, she's already trying to fix me. I'm like, can you quit trying to fix me? I just want to vent. And sometimes in life, that's what we just need. We just need to be able to tell our story and just without hearing anything or any type of psychology or any theology, just to be able to let it out. And that comes with the human ears to be able to hear what they have to say and just attentively hear without trying to diagnose or fix.
That could work well for probably every marriage in this room, right? To be able to do that. And I think that would help across relationships. The people clapping would love to hear your problems. So that's basically what that means. But this is, I know. Yeah.
I didn't clap.
But I think too often it can be really easy to have this be faceless. And you, as much as there might be a veil on someone that's in homelessness, we could put a veil on ourselves and paint with broad strokes. But these are real people with real lives that really matter. Just even within the last couple of months, right near our property over here, there was a homeless person that took their life. And that was, you know, our staff was the one that discovered that. And so it came to this real moment of reality that this is in our community, but there's some real desperation that's there too that has to be dealt with because they're in a dark, dark place. And so, Leanna, you speak so eloquently to this idea of dignity and to appreciating people. How has that affected you personally, and what does that mean to you when you talk about having a face with this?
Yeah, I think for in other services, it's come up kind of where do you start? So for me, it's really been starting at self-reflection, which is, do I understand and do I appreciate how unlovable I really am? So, thank you. Kind of, do I understand how unlovable I really am at times? And do I appreciate the mercy and the grace that I receive from my Heavenly Father? And I think there are times where In all of our lives, we're trying to move past that quickly. And so we look to fix other people because we're trying to just keep moving. And so something for me that I've recognized is a need to understand and appreciate my own inadequacies, to start from a place of appreciating the grace and the mercy that I receive. And it may not show up as homelessness, but there are other ways that it shows up in my life. And it's only by the grace of God that I haven't found myself in a situation like that. And so if we start at that place, then we can recognize for other people how it might be possible that they're struggling with something like that. And eventually it may seem like, well, that's the path they chose. But if we reflect back on the grace and the mercy we receive, then we could at least imagine for a moment what it might be like to end up in a place like that.
Yeah.
And at any time, tapping back into, no matter what a person's situation is today, I know that God made them in His image. Yeah. And there is no divorcing from that. And if we are not at that place, then we need to stop before we do anything and recognize that about ourselves and to start back fresh to say, God, I'm inadequate. I appreciate Your grace and Your mercy. So how do I enter in knowing those things so that I can move forward? Because what I know is in all of my lifetime, the more I lean more into being obedient to do work like this, the more I'm growing and recognizing about myself.
Yeah, awesome. This isn't just something that you do though, Officer Kelly. This is something that's actually affected you personally in your life. And so would you share a little bit about how this idea of homelessness has affected you and your family?
I think everybody has some kind of a tie to a homelessness in their family. There's somebody, a relative, a close friend somewhere. I had a cousin that was homeless. He was in Modesto, and he was in and out of jail his whole life. We had two different paths. And about a year and a half ago, he was hit and killed by a drunk driver in Modesto. And he was on the streets. He lived out there. He didn't have to. We have a large family in Modesto, and he chose to stay out there. It was sad, but I think all of us have some kind of a tie to something like that, and we just need to figure out what we need to do. That's what I'm dealing with daily on the streets.
Yeah, and so again, for you, it's not just like somebody's a woman or a man that potentially could be somebody's family member, and that's where it gets really powerful. And I think all of us here are here because we want to understand what to do, and so maybe some tangible, practical things. So maybe just really briefly, what's something really practical that people could do to make a difference in this in their community that maybe you could offer?
join one of our task force. Come out either on the first or the second Thursday of every month. We meet at the council chambers in front of the police department, the city council chambers. We meet there at 9 o'clock on the first and second Thursday. We meet, we brief, and then we go out to the homeless. If you want to attach yourself to an organization, that's great, but you don't have to. You can come out there just solely as a person that wants to come out and start to get to know somebody and try to help. And the city of Manteca cannot be the sole purpose of this whole fixing everything here. It's not the city, it's a community.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the task force. The task force is not just the city employees. I'm the only city employee on that task force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ways that you can get involved. Yeah, how about a Modesto Gospel Mission, would you say?
I think the biggest and the most important way is for the church to mobilize, and for individuals, we all have a gift in this room, and Christ calls us to get that gift outside of the buildings of a church and display that in the community as the church, because each of us is a church. And I think it's to get involved with what's going on. It's not to respond, but it's not to react, but it's really to respond in your gifting. And how can you give back into, whether it's the task force or Love Inc. or the Modesto Gospel Mission or whatever services it is, it's to really get engaged. And it's really to bring about a community where you're displaying love.
Yeah.
And that love is a choice that we get to make. And that's the love that Jesus is trying to share with us. Is sometimes we think love as an emotion, and it's an emotional thing, but it's not the case. It's each day that we're choosing to really display that love to not only the people that are in our immediate family, but to those that are in the community. And that's where Jesus said to love your neighbors.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the people that are unlovable, so to speak. But when the reality of it looks through the kind of perspective of our sin, God, if God was to directly look at us, we're unlovable. However, he chooses to love us.
Yeah.
And he makes that choice to show that grace and love to us each and every day. The least that we can do is display that love to those around us. Sure. In our communities.
Sure. Yeah, and so in the lobby, you'll be able to hear stuff at the Modesto Gospel Mission about helping to feed the homeless and get involved in the New Life program or different outreaches. You can find out a lot more tangible stuff that you can do out there. Leanna, just a couple of things maybe with Love Inc. Maybe just really briefly, what couple of things?
So I'd encourage you that we have a calendar out in the lobby. You can participate in some more classroom type setting around When Helping Hurts, just to frame your mindset around this, the issue of what it looks like to love people and meet people in what I would say is their messiness, right?
Yeah.
And that takes an intentional mindset. And some slowing down, like Jason said, not a reaction, but a intelligent response.
Yeah.
So that's one way. I'll share, when I got involved with Love Inc., all it was a phone call to say, how can I help? It doesn't have to be Love Inc. It can be any of the organizations that you know are doing great work, just to say, I have these skills and talents. Would it benefit you? Can I volunteer? And what I say is, it might be uncomfortable at first, because sometimes we want something neat and tidy. There's nothing about the issue that we're talking about that's neat or tidy. It really isn't. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. If you go out on outreach, it's probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable. But just recognizing that and saying, that's okay, I just want to be obedient. And so I would say, just start from a place of, I'm available and I'm willing to be obedient. And how can I take those gifts and talents and passions that God gave me and apply it in this area?
Yeah. Lots of ways that you can get involved. In fact, all three of these guys will be out in the lobby. They'd love to talk with you a little bit more about that. If you want to just do something very tangible, just text the word blind spot, the number two, to 797979. We'll help you get connected, get your resources, get your information out. If you have to book out, that's fine. But blind spots to 797979 will help you with that, to be able to take your next steps with it. As we close, I just want to really use the words of Jesus really fast here. And Jesus' words, I think, are pretty profound. He borrows actually from the text in Deuteronomy that we began our time with. And he says this, he says, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. I think if we really dove into that, that's true. No matter where you're at, no matter what part of town, no matter what part of the world, there will be an opportunity to help someone around you. Anytime you want, those poor and the needy will be around you. But I think his next words are actually very important for us, because if we don't have these next words, it's a do culture. But here's the most important thing he says. He says, but you will not always have me. So he's telling the disciples, hey, the poor and needy will always be around you, but guess what? I'm not always going to be here. So the most important thing for them was to make sure that they were connected with Jesus. And I would say the most important thing for our communities and the people that are in need or homeless is that they have Jesus. Because this life is finite and it is very, very, very short. If that person that ended their life near our property is any example of that, there is some desperation there. And we want people to know who Jesus is. That if they know who Jesus is, we know their eternity will be established. But if they don't, then this life is very, very lonely. So if nothing else, can we give our lives as an example of saying, hey, you need to know who Jesus is. I'm not perfect. I was broken like you. But boy, what would it look like? Because you're not always going to have this time. And so my friends, I hope that we are willing to do something, but I'm also hoping that we're ready to give them Jesus at every turn. My friends, I am so grateful that we had the chance to have this conversation. Would you help me thank my friends here today? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Yep. Thank you. And let's stand. Let's pray with these guys here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for this wonderful group of people that represents so many others. We know that it's not just by their efforts that these things happen, Father, but it's because of the efforts of lots of people. And may we be part of the lots of people that are doing things that help and not hurt. But I pray for Officer Kelly as he goes into the front lines of this conversation. Would you give him words to say, give him the heart to be able to be there for people, the tough skin to make hard decisions, and let him know that he is doing a great work and we're very proud of the efforts that are happening. We thank you for Jason and the efforts at the Modesto Gospel Mission, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that he serves every single day. And may his story be an example to them as a way of getting out of where they're at. And we thank you for Leanna and just an example of how she, as a mom and as a wife and as somebody that just cares about people, dives in and takes a part in everything. And Father, we just want to be more like that. We don't have to be experts. We just have to have our hands open to be there for one another. And we just pray for them now. We just love you. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. One more time for these guys, if you would. And if you'd be so kind, just to have a seat really fast, and I appreciate you not going anywhere because we got just a couple more things just to talk about here today, which is really, really cool. And we kept Jason up here for a reason, as Miss T kind of comes out, is that our VBS that we have celebrated so well, 300 plus kids taking advantage of VBS with 175 volunteers, and we didn't even mention this, but almost 100 kids making a decision for Jesus as a result of that, just unbelievable. But what was neat is that, and just real briefly, Christy, if you can explain the connection that the kids made with this conversation today.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. A month or so ago, we went out, we visited, we met Christina at the center, and what we really, every VBS, we want to connect our kids with some other kind of kids. And so we decided, Christina had shared with us, like, some of the favorite things that the kids really love is like Top Ramen and Cup of Noodles kind of thing. And so we set up this competition that we have every year, and on day one, I think it was like 3,000 Top Ramen noodles that came. And so it was just really good. And Jason had shared earlier that the reason that the Top Ramen is just so significant is, number one, we wanted to do something that the kids really love. And Christina said that kids love Top Ramen with Tapatio and fresh lime. And so it was a hit. But the reason that part of it is just so important and so significant is that during the school year, kids get lunch and breakfast and lunch. But during the summer, they don't get breakfast and lunch because they don't go to school. And so they're able to give kids cup of noodles. And we did granola bars and trail mix and individually pack stuff so we can send stuff so they can send stuff home with kids so they won't be hungry. Yeah. So
powerful.
Yeah.
And in fact, we wanted to give you just a snapshot of what that looks like. So take a look at this video from the Modesto Gospel Mission.
Well, the Youth Center here offers a variety of resources to children here within our neighborhood and within our community. We offer them tutoring. We also offer lots of activities that remind them of who Jesus is and how he believes in them.
Hi, my name is Sean and I am 8 years old. I like the video games, and I like the water balloon fights here, and I like the arts and crafts people who come.
Hi, my name is Aslan and I'm 9 years old and I'm going to fourth grade.
What is something that you really enjoy about doing here at the Gospel Mission?
Having water balloon fights, coloring, helping.
My name is Sean. I'm a resident here at the Gospel Mission. Me and my family have been here for 8 months now. I am a single father with 5 children. So being here at the Gospel Mission helped, for one, they helped me to get custody of my kids, to get stabilized and to have a savings, to now we purchased a van, and we also have been able to get a Section 8 voucher, so now we're right now in the process of looking for a home.
I'm Clarissa, I'm 15 years old and I'm going into 10th grade. I've been coming to the mission my whole life. What I like about being here is when I walk into the gates, I feel comfortable here, I feel safe. They have a lot of activities here that we could do. They give us food to eat, like if we don't have food at home, they feed us here. We're sick, they'll give us medicine here. We need shoes, they'll give us shoes, clothes, like they help us out a lot here.
Such good stuff happening in Modesto Gospel Mission. We were able to partner with that. So cool. So whether you're here live, you're watching us online, Blindspots 2797979, you can be a part of the conversation. You can also, as you exit, be a part of this conversation with the people out there. But I'm grateful to be serving alongside a church that would actually be willing to enter into the conversation, make a difference. I hope you'll join me in doing that as we are a Tag Your Rich Church. Let's go do something with what we've heard. Let's stand, let's pray for Jason, and let's pray as we leave here today. God, we are grateful for your love of us, that you took people that ran from you like crazy and chose the prodigal life for so long. But when we hit rock bottom and we realized that where we were at, we needed you. You brought us back home, and that you brought us back home because we had the imago Dei on us, the image of God on us. And God, that is the image of God is on all of us. Whether we are homeless or we have the biggest house in the block, Father, we are image bearers of you. May we see each other that way. May we see the love that you've given us and give that to other people. And may we just come alongside great organizations like the Modesto Gospel Mission and Love Inc. And even the task force that we have here. Father, help us to do that and be your hands and feet in ways that help and not hurt. God, you are so good to us, and we love you. We promise to do something with what we've heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Tag, you're it.